The first foreign leader President Bush met with at the APEC summit was Chinese President Hu Jintao. But President Hu actually began meeting with foreign leaders from the region 9 days ago. For the Chinese leader, the APEC summit in Chile is part of an extended four-nation tour of Latin America, a sign of China's growing diplomatic and economic role in a global economy. Ken Lieberthal is a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution and was senior director for Asia on the National Security Council in the Clinton administration. He joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why is China so intent on forging new relations with Latin America?
Primarily because the Chinese economy is growing at a very rapid rate, but China itself is a resource-scarce society. Whether you look at energy or mineral resources such as copper, iron, and so forth, China's per capita availability of these resources is far below global per capita averages. Their economy has reached the limits of their own resource base. They are now working very hard in Asia, in Africa, in Latin America, in the Middle East, to secure access to adequate amounts of minerals and energy resources. If you look at what they're doing in Latin America, in places like Brazil and Chile and Argentina, resource acquisition is the top priority throughout the area.
For example, can you give us an idea of some of the deals that they're making there?
Sure. They are, for example, in Brazil, just committed what appears to be better than $20 billion for infrastructure development in Brazil. The infrastructure is largely aimed at roads and railways and that kind of thing to get Brazil's minerals from their mines to the ports to send to China. It's very much like the kind of strategy that Japan pursued for many years back in the 1980s when the Japanese economy was growing like six guns and the Japanese needed a lot of resources elsewhere. They increased foreign aid. The aid was devoted to putting in the infrastructure necessary to get the materials they needed from other countries like Indonesia to the ports to send to Japan. China is doing that, committing aid, doing business deals, but the deals are overwhelmingly focused on natural resource acquisition.
Although in some cases, I understand China is giving simply foreign aid to certain countries.
The Chinese understand that they need good diplomatic relations and need a good image in the countries. After all, what they're doing essentially is to take countries' resources out of those countries to use for Chinese economic development. That often runs the risk of producing a kind of nationalist backlash as you're taking the national patrimony. So the Chinese are being very smart about this and recognize that they need to have a good overall image in the country, even as they cut very pragmatic deals to get what they need.
It seems like yesterday China was a developing country. Where did it get $20 billion to invest?
China's strategy of development is focused especially on becoming an export powerhouse. They have run large foreign trade surpluses for quite a few years. Just very recently, their foreign trade has evened out. But they have in their coffers more than $500 billion in foreign exchange. In fact, they are the biggest single lender of U.S. dollars to the United States. They buy more than $1 billion a week in U.S. treasuries. But beyond that, they have a lot of cash that they can spread around.
Isn't, in fact, China financing a lot of our growing national debt?
It absolutely is. China actually buys several billion dollars of U.S. debt every week. We are totally dependent on those purchases. There's no one else who's going to substitute. The Chinese and the Japanese are enabling the U.S. government to run the kind of deficits that the U.S. government is currently running. Should the Chinese put their money into euros or into yen instead of into U.S. debt, we are going to be in very deep trouble very quickly, and our Treasury Department, you can be sure, is acutely aware of that reality.
Ken Lieberthal is a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.